Hello and welcome back, my bitches, to the Real Bitch of Bravo podcast with yours truly, Jihei Wiley, the Real Bitch of Bravo, bitching about all things Bravo and getting as much tea as humanly possible. Now, who's ready to do some real bitching?
Hello, everybody, and I hope you're having an amazing holiday week or month or whatever holiday that you celebrate. It's your Real Bitch of Bravo, Jihei Wiley, here to bitch about all things Bravo. Super excited, you guys, because I am going to try and give you a two for one. So two episodes this Friday for the price of one. I'm going to try. If it comes out on Saturday, I apologize. It's going to come out late. But I swear, guys, a year and a half, at least two more episodes to look forward to. I'm going to be covering right now The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills and The Real Housewives of Miami. But I'm also going to be covering in the next episode, I will be covering Southern Charm and Southern Hospitality, which if you are not watching Southern Hospitality, guys, let me tell you, you are missing out. Paul David got me on Married to Medicine. I got him back on Southern Hospitality. So please, please, please don't sleep on it, you guys. It's amazing. It's so good fucking bringing it this season. I'm sorry for all the tragedy that surrounds their lives, but it's really, really good. It's great television. Anyways, speaking of great TV, let's get into Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. You guys, last week, the dinner number three from hell was talked about all over Beverly Hills. So we talk about dinner from hell and the accusations and Kyle's marriage comes up. And then this week, it's basically what the gist of last week's episode was surrounding this week. Dutton, her assistant and event planner are talking about they're trying to plan Sutton's 4-year anniversary of her store. She talks about becoming a businesswoman and no food, maybe possibly having no food at her event, which thank God she put a kibosh on that because people still need to eat. Even if it's snacks, they still need to eat something. There needs to be something there, right? And also, just because everybody's on Ozempic doesn't mean that these ladies are. You're always going to have food at an event. Like, it just, even if it's a waste, like, you can always give it to a shelter or something afterwards and just give it to somebody else or whatever. Somebody will eat it, I promise you, especially since the ladies actually literally pulled them over and said, no, please put all the food down at the table. We're going to eat all of this. So obviously the food didn't go to waste. Then Sutton talks about how she's made it on her own as a businesswoman. And I love the shade that the producer brings because he basically, I think it's a he, but don't quote me on that one. It might be a she. But basically says, don't you use your alimony for some of your alimony checks for this? And she's like, well, yeah. It's like, well, and here's the thing. I don't want to debate this and I don't want to say like it's not her money because technically it is her money, right? Because for however many years she was married to this man, she helped him be the way that he is to, you know, be able to be a businessman and be able to thrive in that sector of, I think it's a financier or something like that. I mean, the dude's worth billions. So he obviously made it so that he could have this career and stuff like that. So it is her money because she did help in the other part of his life, as far as him trying to make all that money for him, his family, his kids, her, et cetera, all the things. So technically it is her money. I'm just going to go with that and just move on. So good for you for utilizing it, Sutton, in a positive direction and becoming a business person. But I would like to say the one gripe I have, the one thing I'm going to bitch about when it comes to just this issue, don't say that you came from nothing. Please don't say that you came from nothing. I don't think she said that, but I definitely think that she said that she didn't use anybody else's money. She just used her own. And I want to be like, oh, it kind of gives me like little cringe vibes because it's like half their money, right? So it's her money and her ex's money. That's it. I'm going to stop bitching about that because I don't want to not sound supportive of somebody that is actually trying to make a living for themselves. Moving on. Sutton and Crystal FaceTime to talk about the party from hell number three and if she's going to invite Kyle since this is a work thing for her and since Kyle and Dorit have accused her of being an alcoholic, she doesn't really want them around if they're not going to be kind. But as we know, she invites them I mean, it's a Southern thing to do, Sutton, isn't it? It's a Southern thing to do. So she invites them, and they move on from that and kind of gossip and whatever. So then Kyle talks to her therapist, which I found hilarious. And I think it was the two T's in a pod that thought that this guy was Kelsey Grammer. He was nothing like him, by the way. So watching Frasier, even after all of that, you could say that this guy is a jerk, that Kelsey Grammer is a jerk by doing what he did to Camille. And that's all I'm going to say, because I don't want to say anything like massively bad that's going to piss people off. But you know what? He's still a fucking great actor. And so you got to give him his props for that. And you have to let him, like, give him his flowers, dude. He's a phenomenal actor. And revitalizing that Frasier role is giving me all of the feels. So I am watching it. It's good. I don't know about great, but it's good. It's good. It's, you know, it's network television, so it's good. But he does not look anything like Kelsey Grammer. And I think Kelsey is a lot taller than him. That being said, I thought that was fucking hilarious. Anyways, moving on. Oh, it's in the background right now, as I said Frasier. Anyways, moving on. She discusses her relationship with her sister, specifically Kathy, and, you know, that she is trying to please everybody else and not really put herself forward. And now she's finally doing that. And she's getting a lot of flack for it because she's not drinking. And then we finally know the real root of why she is trying to take care of herself and why she maybe is going through what she's going through. She loses a great near and dear friend that she's had since she was 7 years old to suicide, which that I can't even imagine what she's going through when somebody passes away and they pass away so early. I totally get that. Like, it's, everybody deals with death differently and it's probably extremely hard. I know, like, you know, when I have friends that die, or if I have, you know, when I was 17, my dad died. I want to say suddenly for the outside looking in, but for me, it wasn't sudden because I knew he was sick and I knew I lived with him. So I knew he was sick and I knew he was going through it. So I knew he was probably going to die somewhat soon. So I just was like, you know what? I want to be with him as much as I possibly can. And that's what I tried to do. So again, everybody grieves differently. It's different for everybody. And this is just how she's trying to deal with it. So it's just, it's really, I can't even imagine her. I personally, I don't know if I would film. This happened to Olivia in Southern Charm. This is now happening to Kyle. Granted, Olivia's is a little bit of a different situation. Her brother OD'd versus killing himself. But at the same time, I think that's partially like trying to kill yourself-ish. I want to emphasize ish. But yeah, you're still, you know, going through it. And I can't even imagine what she's going through. It's just, it's got to be so rough. Especially if it's somebody that, you know, you were so close to and you've known for since you were 7 years old. I do love the fact that her therapist basically said she's been pushed to believe like it's blood. So you have to fix it. Fuck no, you don't have to fix it. If the relationship is toxic and it's not working for you, don't fix it. I have plenty of family members I don't talk to because it's a toxic thing. Like, I'm not going to talk to them. I'm not going to reiterate. And it may sound callous. It may sound really harsh. But those are people that don't really need to be in your lives, to be honest with you. So move on. You know, you don't need, just because it's family doesn't mean that you have to be with them or you have to fix it. So I'm with the therapist on that one. But das Vidania, move on, sweetie. And if you're going to ruffle some feathers, then be so be it. I wrote that little side note down as a reminder to say that. And we finally get Kyle opening up about the best friend. I already went over that. Understandably, so we don't see both Mauricio and Kyle at the Christmas party, which I thought was interesting. I thought like. I guess they're separated, so it's like it stems to reason why they wouldn't be there. But then she brings Morgan Wade, which I thought that was really interesting. I'm not speculating that they're together. I'm not speculating that they had an affair. I'm not speculating any of that stuff. Like, they seem like they're just friends, because why would you tease somebody like that? They're not touchy-feely with one another. There's no public displays of affection. There's no, like, there's nothing that would make me think that, and or make the audience, or there's audience that the audience should think that she's having an affair with Morgan Wade, that she's swapped sides or anything like that. And I know that's the major allegation between her and Morgan Wade and their relationship, which is, I think, bullshit. Like, they're just friends, guys. Like, let's just let them be friends. You know, like, there's tons of people. It's very interesting that this is something that's so crazy. And it was like this big, huge blow up thing. Like she's having an affair. It's like she's having an affair with who? And then the allegation is with Morgan Wade. It's like, dude, there are plenty of straight women and lesbian women that, trust me, I play basketball. So definitely straight and lesbian women that do get along. They do end up just being friends. And that is all she wrote. So that might just be all she wrote with this. It's seeming like every single day, this is just somebody that she can confide in that is going through her same journey. And I think that that's the reason why they're so close. And that's the reason why they can definitely bond and be with one another. I think people need to get off Kyle's fucking back because she's going through a lot right now. And I think that I can't wait for Sutton's reaction to this in the reunion because it's going to be very similar to, I think, Larsa's reaction to, you know, Gertie and her having cancer. I think it's going to be similar. I don't think it'll be the same, but it's going to be similar as to the fact that, like, both of them are going to have not a good reaction and just be like, oh my gosh, like, why are you coming after me? Like, why are you guys being so rude? Da-da-da. Like, name them. Name, like, Sun's behavior is just so fucking weird. Like, how do you not look at the camera being turned back on you when you watch this and not think that you that's odd, not odd behavior, that that's normal behavior? I just can't see it. Anyways, again, these were great TVs. I'm not going to lie. I was definitely entertained for sure. And then Kyle gets asked, what do you need to do to feel safe? She says self-care. I think she's doing that for herself. And I, you know, unfortunately, friendships, and I think I said this last episode about them, friendships are going to fall by the wayside when you change your life, right? When you stop drinking, when you stop doing something that everybody else constantly does for in the social dynamic, it's going to fall by the wayside, right? Those friends that you did the drinking with or you did a certain activity with that you no longer do anymore, they're going to fall by the wayside and you're going to not have that connection with them anymore. And so it's unfortunate, but if they really want to be your friends, then they will hang out with you in that other capacity and it won't be annoying, right? Like go, you can still have dinner with them. You can still go to a basketball game with them. You can still do other things that have nothing to do with booze, right? Or you can drink and they just don't. And she's obviously found a way to be around people that are drinking and she doesn't drink. So I don't think that this is a horrible thing. I think that everybody needs to just get off, again, get off Kyle's fucking back. That might be the name of the, this episode, by the way. Anyways, moving on. Garcelle goes out to dinner with Jade and his new girlfriend, Ashlyn. It's kind of cute. Garcelle does approve of the girlfriend. Not like that would have mattered to Jade. I think that he would have dated her regardless, but it is kind of cute that she is very respectful and that Garcelle sees that. And I love that we're seeing more of Garcelle's life. I'm sure everybody else does as well, because we sit there. I love that Sutton sits there and talks shit about, you know, Kyle. And I get it because maybe they're not as close as her and Garcelle, but the audience doesn't see what Sutton sees with Garcelle. Like Garcelle actually spends time with Garcelle, or sorry, Sutton spends time with Garcelle. They actually go, probably actually go out on lunches and like hang out with each other's kids and stuff like that. We don't see that side of Garcelle. And this season, we're seeing that side of Garcelle. Garcelle, you were going up there in the notches book for me as a housewife. Like you're getting better and better and better because we're actually getting to know you. We're not just getting to know the bitter, like I'm going through a divorce. And like now we're seeing how it's, you know, how it's affecting your children, how it's affecting your relationships. I think that once your kids go to college, I think that that would be a great thing for you to be able to date and to see you dating a little bit more. But you know what? I'm not going to push that envelope. I love this season's Garcelle so far. And everybody knows on this podcast, I'm not a Garcelle fan. So Garcelle, keep doing what you're doing. You're doing great work on the show. What did I say on this one? Sorry, you guys. We finally get to see her as a mom, a businesswoman. But the Garcelle I'm hoping that goes away is the one that is consistently having to defend Sutton. Like, sometimes your girl's just in the wrong. And I'm hoping that this season she kind of pulls back the reins and she says, like, you know what, Sutton, you're on your own on certain things. Like, there's certain things I just can't defend you on. Some things I get it, you know, like, everybody has blind loyalty. And I get it. But, I mean, I had blind loyalty to Erica Jane, and obviously it paid off all y'all motherfuckers because she's free, innocent, and flourishing in fire right now. But with Garcelle, like, you have to admit there's something wrong with her. Like, there's something going on with her. I don't know if there's anything wrong with her, but, like, she's definitely off, and it's weird, and she's just consistently like this. And I love that Teddy Mellencamp basically said, like, nope, this is just her. You guys are just finally seeing it on camera. Maybe she's just hitting it, and we finally are seeing it, right? Like Teddy says. So I don't know. Like, I've never been a fan of Sutton, but, like, I've never hated her. But now I'm like, oh, my gosh, you have issues. And I think that she's just trying. I think you're trying too hard, Sutton. I think it just needs to chill. Asking people what's going on in their lives, totally understandable. I get it. But you are pushing the envelope when it comes to that. I think it's like you're prying a lot more than you should be prying. I think like when she's ready to tell you, she might just tell you, you know, and if she doesn't, then she doesn't. Like, then you'll have to wait. It just means that your friendship isn't where you thought your friendship was. Is what it is. It doesn't seem like you guys hang out when the cameras aren't rolling. So it doesn't seem like a genuine friendship to me. So I'm fine with whatever's going on in your friendship and her not saying anything, Kyle, that is, to you. So I think that you need to finally bite the bullet and be like, we're good, Kyle. Anyways, Kyle FaceTimes Morgan Wade and lets her know about the dinner from hell. And she gets teased a little bit. And that's when you know, like, a friend, for me at least, that's when you know it's a friendship. Because for me, I tease all my friends. And if you're not getting teased, or I'm not giving you shit, I don't like you. That means that I'm giving you the time of day and that, like, I'm incorporating you into my life. And if I'm not, then I wouldn't text you back. I wouldn't call. I wouldn't do any of those things. And I also probably really, like, I'd have, like, bland conversations with you. Like, oh, hi, good to see you. And then walk away. Versus, like, I would just talk shit. I don't know what I would say in the moment, but, like, I'd have to be in the moment, but I would probably just talk shit. So that's when you know you have a true friend, at least in me. And I obviously, Morgan Wade's exactly like me. Anyways, everyone arrives to Sutton's event. It's raining. So there's little covers and everything for everybody to enter. So there's not really, like, a step and repeat, like, red carpet action thing going on due to the rain. But Avi throws, oh, I love that Avi threw shade at the non-celebrity person at Sutton's event saying, like, put your sunglasses off or take your sunglasses off because you're not a celebrity. Amen to that. I know that, like, a lot of people, when they look like shit, they want to, like, keep their sunglasses on, but you're at an event, like, that you took the time, energy, and effort to get glam, to, like, do all that stuff. Take the damn sunglasses off, homie. Like, nobody knows you. Don't think that people do know you. Stop with that. Avi is slowly but surely becoming my fave because he can still sit there and talk shit to Sutton, which is great. Loving it. Amazing. Kyle goes to the event with Kim and it's obviously a fuck you. I mean, it's very apparent. Like, if you think that Kyle is above that, then obviously in this scene, she is not. And she makes it known. She lets it be known. I don't know if I would do the same thing. I'm, like, trying to think if I would do the same thing. I don't think I would do the same thing. I'd be like, that's extremely harsh. Fuck you. And I probably, like, I don't even know if I'd go to the event, to be honest with you. I probably would just be like, you know, we're obviously on a different path and we're not really friends because real friends would support other people, et cetera. It would be a different time, whatever. But I don't even think I'd go to the event, but, Kyle's a bigger person than I am. So she goes to the event and she throws a little shade at the same time. So good for her. Also, I don't know if anybody realizes that Meghan King was in attendance. I hope everybody saw that. I was trying to, like, actually get a snapshot of it and be like, hi, Meghan King. But yeah, shout out to Meghan King being in attendance. I, like, didn't know you knew something like that. But then again, this world is so small that I think the second that they all meet each other at BravoCon or what have you, they all know each other anyway already. But that was a cute little cameo, even though it wasn't really shown. It wasn't, like, nobody really noticed it. Like, if you blinked, you could, it would go, it would have went away. So, but good for her for making her way to LA. Sutton then makes a horrific speech, and she makes it known that she's not an orator. For those that don't know what that is somebody that make speeches or a good speaker. An orator is a good speaker or a speaker. So she admits that. So thank you, Sutton, for admitting your faults. I wish that you would admit them a little bit more. Once she's done, she asks permission from mom, aka Kyle, if she can have another drink or she can have her first drink. I think that this drink thing, like, it just needs to go away because, like, they were right. They didn't say that you were an alcoholic. They just said they didn't know that day if you had one drink, if you had 10, maybe that's why you were off. You, like, mixed in your medication. That topic gets brought up, too. We finally get the Anne-Marie, you know, coming at her with, that's not true. No offense. Yeah, she probably, you didn't ask for her advice, but I'm loving the shade that Anne-Marie is bringing and being like, no, just to let you know, it's not advisable. You probably shouldn't do it. Don't drink on booze, or don't drink on booze. Don't drink on the medication. And it's, again, it's not advised. And I bet you that her doctor probably said that to her, that it's not advised, but at the same time probably said, like, see how you feel. So I think that, like, the medication for her foot, you have to take it for a week without it to see how you can function with just the medication. And if you're drowsy, woozy, whatever, then with the medication, then you probably shouldn't be drinking on it. And then I think, like, later on, if you still have to use it, then you're fine. Hopefully she realizes that and knows that. I'm under the assumption that she does, and that hopefully the pharmacist also gave her instructions about that as well, because they normally do. Because of my wrist, I've been taking, like, I stopped taking it, but, like, in the very beginning, I had to take, like, so much medication that I'm just like, this fucking sucks, man. How do people do, by the way, I could never be a pill popper. I, like, wish I could be a pill popper, but I grew up holistically, just having holistic remedies. So, like, for me, you know, starve a cold, beat a fever. There's a particular bone broth soup. For those that want this advice, if you have the flu, or you're feeling achy, and I promise you, you're going to have, wherever you live, it doesn't matter if you live in East Bumblefuck, Kansas City, Missouri has Korean food. I swear it does, because I went to multiple Korean restaurants in Kansas City, Missouri. I know that's a really random place that has Koreans, but they do. There's always going to be a Korean community somewhere in the middle of America. Like, I swear in Nebraska, they probably have some random Korean barbecue place, and it's probably very random, but I swear they do. I actually will Google it and find out. But my flu cure is what's called solongtang. And for those that are Korean, my Korean people, y'all know already, but it's a bone broth soup with actual meat in there and some noodles if you want them, or you can put rice in it, whatever, it doesn't matter. You add a little bit of salt and green onion in there. It's bomb when you're sick. It's bomb when you're not sick. It's great either way, but it really, really helps build the calcium in your bones, and it helps, like, the ache. And it's awesome. When you have the flu, I highly recommend it. Drink it, get it. Solongtang, Sultang. So highly recommend, do it, get it. And this is why I couldn't be a pill popper. This is why I couldn't. I actually had this conversation with a friend. They were like, you don't want any, like, pain medication. And I'm like, I'm in pain, but I'm not, like, in pain where I'm going to be keeling over and I, you know, it's going to hurt all the time. And this is so painful. Like, I need this medication. Like, I didn't grow up that way. And B, I just couldn't. I don't understand that mentality, I guess. Like, it's just not me. So I don't know. It's crazy. I don't think I could ever be on medication. So I don't know how these women, like, take all this medication and then drink on it. Like, and on top of it, I'm not Kyle yet. Like, I'm not at the point where, like, I want to constantly have a drink after work or anything like that. So, but at the same time, you telling me, like, if you take this medication, you can't drink. I'm doing my damnedest to be able to drink. Like, I need to have a cocktail or something like that. Like, when I want, if and when I want to. So, with the exception of antibiotics, like, you got to take those. It's just necessary. Anyways, going to be done on that tangent. Moving on. Garcelle, Crystal, and Erica talk about the dinner from hell and about Denise, what Denise said at the dinner table. Garcelle mentions that she was impressed with Erica's show of, like, no emotion, and she basically just shut it down, or no reaction. And on Erica's part during that dinner, first of all, I think Garcelle has this misconceived notion that, like, she's a powder keg and that she's always going to be that way. I remember the first time that we were introduced to Erica, and Erica Jane is so different than Erica Oh my gosh, I'm totally blanking on her ex-husband's name. But like, but the other Erica, right? Like the housewife Erica, or like the just normal Erica from, you know, from the South. She is quiet. She's very chill. She's calm. She's very like keeps to herself. She's very, as they say, giving, caring. Like she's a good friend. Like she's like a girl's girl. And like, I'm glad that Garcelle is finally seeing this side of Erica, because that's the side of Erica that I think fans, at least this fan of Erica Jayne, saw when she first was introduced to being a Beverly Hills housewife. That's the Erica I saw. That's the Erica I know. And that's the Erica that I'm like, she's going through something. When she was getting drunk every single time that she was out and about with these ladies, she's going through something. Obviously. Obviously with, you know, getting sued on three sheets to whatever Sunday, three ways to Sunday. So I get where she's coming from. Like I couldn't even fathom being in her situation. So kudos to Erica for quote unquote changing, even though I think that this is always the Erica that's always been there. I think that she just finally is able to be shown to the world in a, I don't know what kind of light, but this is the Erica I know. This is the Erica that I think that most of this audience was introduced to, if you remember original Erica. So I'm loving it. Then we get back to Kyle and Sutton's feud, but now we've incorporated Dorit and Crystal into the conversation. Dorit tries to get to the bottom of Sutton, accusing Dorit of saying that she is an alcoholic, when neither Kyle or Dorit, I think, basically I said that neither of them said that about Sutton. They just were wondering if she's a little off because of medication and because of the drinks that she had had that day. They did, however, say, Crystal and Dorit did, however, try to get in this conversation, and like, or mainly Dorit, about Crystal saying that Dorit called Sutton an alcoholic, and those are through Crystal's words, and that she was her pigeon or whatever, her carrier pigeon or whatever, now that she is finding her voice or something, or didn't have a voice before and was very quiet before, and now she's, you know, being really loud about and vocalizing shit. I wish that Dorit would like take a beat, because her shit's valid. She didn't call her an alcoholic, but you could have cut that shit down in like 2 seconds and just been like, I didn't say that. This is what I said. You know, I wish you wouldn't say that. And then she probably would have moved on, you know, and probably hopefully would have said that she's sorry. We then get to the esophagus, the small esophagus, and that Sutton doesn't want to stretch it out like other people normally would. This continues on and on and on and goes on. And that's when we get Anne Marie Wiley, who, by the way, last night was at the Thursday night was at the Clipper game with her husband, Marcellus Wiley. They were behind the Clipper bench. Those are true diehard fans, man, because like he's been part of Clipper Nation since like, I want to say like the 70s, like since they were in San Diego. Yeah, that's right. You guys, the Clippers were in San Diego originally. Not like y'all care. A little trivia for you if anybody wants to wow their husband or boyfriend. Anyways, moving on. But I thought it was really cute. They're season ticket holders. They like, that's like the one season ticket franchise that they actually have season tickets for. Marcellus, Anne Marie, if you ever want to go to a game with somebody, I am the best person to go to a Clipper game with, because I love that team. I have been a fan of that team since I was 17 years old. I would love to go with you if I ever get to meet you and be friends with you. I would love that. probably not going to happen, but you know what? Actually, screw that. I'm saying it's happening. I'm meeting Anne Marie and Marcellus Wiley, and we're going to a Clipper game together. It's happening. That being said, all that basically shit hits the fan, and she ruffles some feathers and makes housewife gold by continuously asking her about that stuff. And it's great. Great TV. Thank you, Anne Marie, for being there. All those haters out there for Anne Marie, I like her. I think she's a great addition. I think that, first of all, those that are, and then Sutton saying that she doesn't even know her last name. Sutton, bitch, she's more famous than you are. Well, at least her husband is, to me. Her husband's more famous than you are. I didn't even know who you were until you got on television. I knew who she was before she got on TV. So to say something like that, that's just another example of how off Sutton is. when it comes to shit like that. It's like, her husband is a former NFL player. Like, she's going to be tossed into the limelight. She's going to be tossed at red carpets and like certain events. She's going to be on ESPN. She's going to be on Fox Sports. She's instead like national television, just because she's with a former professional athlete who now is on television, has his own network, by the way. So kudos to you, Marcellus. I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt, by the way, you guys, on this rape trial case, because a lot of it ends up being, hey, he finally made money. I'm not saying that she didn't get raped. I'm just saying I'm waiting it out. For those that don't know about the case, he is getting accused of rape when he was at Harvard, playing football over at Harvard. Yeah, that's right. Harvard has a football team, guys. So he is getting accused of that from this woman, because I guess there's no statute of limitations when you're a minor. So he is going through a trial. Like, I don't think he's going through a trial right now, but they're definitely going through it. And he's, I guess, they're trying to figure it out. So I am on neither side until proof of all of it. It either gets dropped or whatever the case may be happens. So I'm not going to say free Marcellus, but I'm not going to say that this woman is right. So I'm going to be neutral on this thing, because I have gone over to the other side of like supporting the woman, and the woman lies. So I'm going to be in the middle of this and just say, let the chips fall where they may. That being said, next week, or actually they do the mid-season trailer. I don't know if like I like this mid-season trailer as much as I like the trailer, obviously, for Vanderpump. If you guys saw the Vanderpump trailer, which I'm sure all of you saw it, I think that like the Vanderpump trailer showed us things that we like didn't even know, i.e. freaking Schwartz and Sheena making out at the Golden Nugget years ago. And I think it was years ago. I don't think that this was recent, because if this was recent, damn, Sheena. Ooh. That being said, like, it's like, you're not seeing any new information. This is all like pretty normal stuff, but like, we'll see. Garcelle talks about sex with her sons. I put Nookie in there to be a little bit cleaner, but obviously I didn't say that. Then Erica performs a private performance at SoFi for like all the girls and like a bunch of other people or whatever. I'm sure that this was like a trial run for her now show, which I'm trying to go to. My boyfriend was kind enough to push our Vegas trip. Yes, that's right. I'll be in Vegas this weekend and into next week. So you guys will be seeing not this background. You'll be seeing a hotel background a little bit. I'll be staying in Vegas for a week. And hopefully, knock on wood, you guys, follow me on Instagram and check peep my stories or my live, because I'm trying to go to the last Erica Jane show in Vegas for her residency. So cross your fingers, hoping that happens. Sorry, this is broken. I can't cross my fingers here. But that being said, you guys, trying to go. So I'm super excited. You'll obviously know if I don't go or not. But if there's $7, maybe I can just go to general admission. You know, the sad part about all this is the boyfriend's not going to go, which is fine. It's whatever, but it's going to be a great concert regardless of if I go by myself or if I go with the boyfriend. So it'll be fun. That being said, then for this mid-season trailer, to wrap it up, Garcelle talks about sex with her sons. Erica performs her private performance at SoFi, which was awesome. And then the ladies go to Spain, and they get to know Anne Marie's fiery side a little bit more, specifically Crystal and Sutton, and I'm here for it. Can't wait for that to happen. Can't wait to talk to you guys also about Real Housewives of Miami after this break. Be right back. Hello, you guys. I am back, your real bitch of Bravo, G. Hey Wiley. Got a promo really quick at the very beginning and the very end, so you guys don't have to hear this throughout the whole entire thing of me bitching and complaining about the Real Housewives of Miami, which is up next. Follow me on sorry about that, guys. Follow me on Instagram at the_real_bitch_of_bravo. If you want to follow me on my regular Instagram, fine, great. It's JIHAE_JHO_WILEY. That's also, by the way, the threads as well for the Real Bitch of Bravo account. It's the exact same at you guys. So all this will be at the very, very end of this video, but I just figured I'd plug it now. Also, don't forget to follow Sandbar if you guys are in the Manhattan Beach area. It is a great place to dine, to enjoy some live music. They're always jamming there Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night. They have a DJ, and Sunday happy hour time, they have live music as well. 5 to probably like 8 o'clock at night, they will have live music and acoustic set every Friday and Sunday. So don't miss that. They're always really, really good. The vibes are really chill in there. And then summertime hits and it's banging in there. I will definitely show you guys a little bit more on my IG live from when I get back from Vegas. It'll be fun. I'm supposed to work there all this month, but obviously, as you know, I can't show it to you, but I was in a cast last episode. They took it off and now it's just wrapped up and there's a bunch of stitches and I'm waiting for them to take it out on the 27th of this month of December. So I will be having that done very soon. And then I'll know a little bit more of if I will be back there to work, and I'll let you guys know my schedule so you can come in and see me and get a free drink on me if you ever do decide to come in there. All you have to do is come up to this real bitch and say it's time to bitch, or fuck you bitch, or something like that, something with bitch in it, or just call me a bitch, like hey bitch. I'm fine with that too. And that could be your that's your free drink. That's how you get your free drink. Anyways, guys, speaking of cockies, let's get down to Real Housewives of Miami and these cockies. I kind of wish I had a drink right now, but I'm doing this at 3:30 in the morning and I kind of want to get some sleep. So not drinking. Anyways, you guys, Real Housewives of Miami, they always bring it. It's always so good. That, like, thank God that Bravo finally put them on Real Bravo and stopped putting them on Peacock. I'm done with this Peacock shit. No more Peacock, you guys, for the Real Housewives of Miami. They deserve to be in the big boy room and be on Bravo and then be on Peacock the following day. I'm fine with that. Anyways, last week on Real Housewives of Miami, Marisol, Julia, and Adriana stay feuding. Mainly Marisol and Adriana, they stay feuding. And then Gertie and Larsa get into it as well at the Fuck Cancer event. All the ladies go to Palm Beach as well. Lisa basically invites all the girls out to stay at her buddy's place. It's a beautiful mansion out there in Palm Beach, so they go out there as well. And then this week they start getting into it. It is really good. The ladies get back together for brunch and Lisa starts breakfast. This is day one. Lisa starts breakfast with a Polaroid scavenger hunt. I didn't see this until I listened to Two Teas in a Pod, that she got not only her, you know, scent or whatever that she's promoting, and that's the reason why she's in Palm Beach. She got that in there, but she got the Polaroid. Like, if she is sponsored by Polaroid, she got the Polaroids in there. Good for her. That's freaking phenomenal. That is, you know, putting your brand out there on a totally different level, right? Because, just found out. This is, I know nobody wants to really hear about, you know, the Bethany thing. And, you know, I know a lot of people are not really on that side or are supporting that side of reality television, but I get why they're pissed and I get why they want certain things to swing their way, and that for networks just in general for them to unionize and for them to make certain amount of money and make residuals as well. First of all, they don't get residuals. They sign that shit off in their contract, so they don't make money every single time that you guys see a repeat episode on Bravo. They don't get that money. Bethany, the Bethany clause, for those that don't know what the Bethany clause was, is that every single time that she promoted her stuff, her Skinny Girl brand, her, like, anything that made her money on the side for her side hustle, Bravo gets a piece of that, you guys. So the network gets a piece of the pie. Bethany was the only one to put in her contract that they can't make any money off of her side hustles. So any of her brands, any of her companies, they can't make dick off of it. Everybody else, so DJ James Kennedy, it's like the NIL deal. Like, these guys are making money off of your face and it's off of your name, image, and likeness. And you're only getting a portion of the pie. You're not getting the whole entire pie. It's your pie. You own the pie. So they're not getting any of the money. So this, in for me, like, it's great. You know, they're probably, maybe we're quibbling over like a couple grand, but it could be millions of dollars that they could be taking away from you as well. So don't you want that, those millions of dollars, and put that into your clause? This point on, I think that they don't, they negotiate that out of your contract and you can't get any of that money. So that's insane to me. Insane to me. Crazy. Anyways, so that's the Bethany clause. That's also what Bravo is doing right now. They're making money off of Lisa and her scent brand, and also Lisa and that Polaroid brand partnership that she has with Polaroid, and busting that out there and, you know, putting the brand out there as well. So that shit is crazy that they're not making as, you guys aren't making as much money. Just the Bravo celebrities are not making as much money as they should be when they do that. And I get it. It's their, you know, it's their platform. It's Bravo's platform. And, you know, they're not paying for the, that said platform, but damn, it's still their hard earned money. That's crazy. Crazy to me. What's not crazy is Kiko getting her dildo on. Golf clap to Kiki, man. Round of applause to Kiki. Bring that dildo, honey. If you need, if you, I mean, I don't want to call it a problem, but like, to each his own, if you can only last 6 hours without sex, your man is going to be very, very exhausted later on in life. But you know what? Good for her. Good for her. Get in where you fit in, sweetie. So that's just hilarious. I think it was, obviously it was a huge bonding experience because of the teams that split off for that scavenger hunt were not like the normal teams, right? Like, you never ever thought that you would see Dr. Nicole with Alexia and with Marisol. So glad for that. Glad that they were able to, you know, come together and have like a come to Jesus moment and actually become friends after 2 years of definitely not being friends. So good little moment. Everyone behaved while going to this, going from the house to the sprinter, from the sprinter to the event. Kudos to you. Round of applause as well for that. Didn't think that that was going to happen. So can't believe they were on their best behavior for that. I don't think it was that long, but like, still good for them for still behaving. Marisol and Adriana, they bring up their grievances during dinner that include the sprinter van when they went to the charity event. It also included a multiple years ago argument, and Marisol goes on an apology tour. I'm here for it because I think Marisol does need to own some of her shit, and that she does need to own the fact that like Alexia is a different person when she's not there. I just think that it is what it is. Maybe like some people and their energy, it's just like you react differently when they're there. It's just a fact of life, right? And sometimes it's negative, sometimes it's positive. And maybe Marisol isn't really like the most positive human being when she's around certain said people, right? So like her and Adriana, they're not going to get along. It's just never going to happen. I don't think that she went and asked a voodoo doctor to like kill her. I think that that's ludicrous. But I do, however, think that this feud, they need to just be cordial and just like let it go, because they're gonna have to be in the same room with each other if they do continue to film with one another and they do continue to work with one another. So y'all just need to be adults eventually and let it go. I don't know if that's ever gonna happen, but I just, that's my personal take on it. Julia says that Marisol is stirring the pot in her confessional. She ain't wrong, but we need that in a housewife. So thank you, Marisol, for doing that. Alexia speaks up against Marisol and actually, you know, does defend, like does say, you know, you need to own your shit, which again, she does. So kudos to her for doing that. But I will say this. She said this on Watch What Happens Live. She did not apologize to Adriana. She did say that her behavior was unacceptable and she shouldn't have said what she said, but she's not going to apologize for anything that she did to Adriana. So no apology there. But I will give her credit on the apology to Nicole. But she did apologize to Nicole. She was very much like, look, dude, I'm going to be there for people that I've known longer. She was very upfront and honest, and that I can totally appreciate. So I don't want to hate Marisol because I love her. I think that we've all already come to the conclusion that like me and Paul and I like love Marisol and we love her cockies. I think that they're great. I think she's great. I love what she does with the gay community and like all the things that she does. I don't want to hate her, but like the fact that she is, that people are two different people around her speaks volumes. So it's just, it's kind of concerning, but hopefully it switches over and, you know, Alessia can kind of be herself when she's around other people. And it's while Alessia is there. And she, I mean, dude, Marisol like went off too. She was just like, she not in the moment, but she definitely either in her confessional or on Watch What Happens Live, like she went off and was like not today, Satan, to Alexia's comment on, you know, her standing up against her. So I think that they can like, they'll move past this, but like, I would like to see a rift kind of, and like for both of them to find their own friendships outside of just them, because there's just a lot of just them. And that's something that I think that all of them need to kind of go the other way and figure out different friendships in different areas. Julia asking Marisol if she hired a private detective as well to spy on the ladies. I mean, like, who the fuck has time for that? And if she does, that is shady as shit. She didn't like say yes, but she didn't say no. And she just, that would be so shady. Sorry, I'm going to scratch my ear. But then Lisa moves the conversation to Lenny again. I think there should be a drinking game. And I think that they tried doing this the last time. She brought up Lenny all the time, and then like they would drink. Those girls would be on the fucking floor. Lisa does move the conversation, and then Kiki obviously goes off on her, like, but trying to do it in the most positive way. Like, I think all the ladies didn't want her to talk about Lenny anymore. They were just like, dude, we're done. Like, we've been there. We've been supportive throughout the whole entire thing. We know that this is taking forever for you to get divorced, and it sucks. But you don't need to bring him up every 2 seconds. Like, talk about something else. Like, they were there for her event, like, right? For her, well, not her event, but they were there for her to go do her set thing or whatever. And why don't we talk about that? Why don't we talk about, you know, what that entails and get more involved into that? I don't think, I get it, Lisa's going through it and she's going through something. I just wish that she would kind of take a step backwards, because I have friends that are going through a multiple year divorce, and they're still not talking about their damn husbands, and they're with other people as well. So, or their ex-husband, sorry. So it's just, it's concerning. I agree with all the ladies. You need to stop talking about it, but she's going to find her time when she's able to do it. It just is what it is. She's just going to keep bringing him up, which really sucks. Also, if she stopped bringing him up, he wouldn't be he wouldn't be suing her for defamatory whatever, and then he wouldn't be suing her for like all the other things that she's doing. Like, it would maybe solve a little bit of her problem, but again, everybody grieves. This is like a death, guys. The divorce is like a death, so she's grieving in her own little way. So hopefully she hurries the process up and on the grieving, and hopefully he, which sucks, like I feel like this guy is just doing it just to do it to her, and it's just really fucked up. It's like, dude, you've moved on. I don't understand why you have to keep adding her and pushing her. It just shows you his lack of character if he's still going after her financially and trying to bleed her dry. It's just sad. Larsa and Gertie get into it at the dinner table, and Larsa just can't stop herself, and Gertie finally just kind of gives up. It's just like, like I'm done. Like, I think she's just over it and she's just done, which I don't blame her. I probably would do the same thing. I'd be like, dude, you know what? Let's just move on from this. We're on vacation. Let's enjoy it and move on. I think that Gertie, and I think she might have even said this, she's keeping her at a distance and being like, dude, we're good. I'm going to put a happy face on, but our friendship is pretty torn. Like, you're going to have to come back from this. And again, I don't blame her. So, saying something that you said you weren't going to say and then saying it, that breaks the trust barrier right there for sure. Anyways, then we get to day two of Palm Beach. Julia and Adriana sit down to coffee to talk about Marisol's ex and bring up some wild accusations that if these are true, shit's about to get real. You know what I like to point out is that I find it hilarious that Adriana talks shit about Marisol and Marisol talks shit about Adriana. They're the same motherfucking person. These girls, like, Julia is a different person around Adriana, and Alexia is a different person when she's around Marisol, right? Who's the defining factor? Y'all bitches are too much alike. Like, you need to, like, sit down and have a this conversation of, like, you know what? We're a little bit more alike than you think, and that's probably why we don't get along. This is crazy. Anyways, sidebar, side little note. I was like, you probably don't get along because you are the exact same person. It's in two separate bodies. So anyways, shit's about to get real if this is actually true. This is all alleged. This is not. These are all accusations and allegedly, as Teddy Mellencamp was saying. Julia says that Marisol's ex is traumatized by her saying that Marisol hacked into his computer. She was following him and his girlfriend. She paid a voodoo person to make a doll of him. And lastly, he told her not to cross her because she'll go out of her way to get you and ruin your life. That is very damaging if that's actually the case. So I'm hoping it's not the case. I'm hoping that this is all false and that, you know, this is him being crazy, because she did also say, Marisol said that her ex was very toxic. So I'm really hoping that this is the case, because I haven't seen any act of Marisol being crazy, right? And like trying to put a voodoo spell on anybody or going after anybody, with the exception of Adriana. She hasn't gone after Julia. She hasn't tried to go after Nicole. Like, I mean, she has tried to go after Nicole, but not to the point where she's trying to ruin her life and kill her and tell people, like, please kill this person. So I'm just hoping this is wrong. And she said it was wrong on Watch What Happens Live, but that doesn't mean shit. Like, your actions speak louder than the words. Like, you can say no, 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 but sometimes you're actually meaning yes. Moving on. Again, yeah, wanting somebody dead, that's just a different level. Julia brings up that she's going to have the conversation with Alexia about them not rooming with one another. Yet another reason why, like, these girls are two totally different people when they're around certain people, right? I feel like if she had the option to be with somebody else, like to room with somebody else, yeah, maybe she would have. And she doesn't need Todd's permission. And I don't think the lesbian thing is an issue. I think that this is really just a Marisol-Alexia thing, where Marisol's like, no, she's my bro. She's going to be with me all the time. Like, y'all need to have, like, separation shit go on. Like, this is not your man. Like, you should be able to live without her. Like, it's crazy. This is crazy. And she says she's going to have this conversation just to clear their air. I really hope it does clear the air, and I hope that she, like, Alexia takes it with a grain of salt. Julia and Adriana make their way back to the breakfast table. Julia goes into the kitchen to make her own face mask, which I love that, because like I told you guys before, I'm very into holistic everything, like healing. Bananas, by the way, too, are supposed to be really good for your face, allegedly. I haven't tried it yet, but I get Korean face masks, so for me, I don't really use that shit. But thank God for being Korean. Yes, we spend a lot of money on our face. So, but I do have a zit right now. It's bugging the crap out of me. I'm sure that you guys have already seen it because of the light hitting on it. It's literally in the middle right here. If you haven't seen it, I mean, how could you not? It's so freaking huge. Anyways, the other girls make their way to breakfast. Lisa announces the activity of the day, which is croquet. Majority of the girls go and do that while she goes and finalizes her set with a select few of the women, specifically being Adriana and Nicole. She did ask Larsa, but Larsa was like, I don't want to go to that, which kind of makes me sad, because you would think that a businesswoman would want to support another businesswoman. But you know what? To each his own. This is also your vacation time. Go play croquet with some old men. And I'm sure that this also hurt Lisa's feelings too, because Lisa's always the one that's like, I want to get along with everybody. I'm going to make everybody else get along with everybody. So kind of sad, especially considering what she's going through. Then the ladies leave, most of the ladies leave to play croquet and leave in these awesome classic muscle cars. They look awesome, but one of the cars dies. And for those that obviously saw the episode, like, this shit is hilarious, because like some of these bitches be so bougie. Like, they're so freaking hoity-toity, and like they don't want to get in the car, and they're like, oh my gosh, it's so cramped, it's so hot in here. And then like, I forget who it was. I think it was Gertie who was like, honey, this is an everyday thing. Like, we used to sleep on the floor with one another, like, in my home. Like, being in a car with one another is a vacation. This is great. Like, thought that was hilarious. Lisa, Adriana, and Nicole go to Lisa's perfume meeting, and Lisa, understandably so, she breaks down, just realizing the magnitude of what she's having to do, and that she's having to do this all on her own, and she's going to have to raise her kids on her own, and she's not going to technically be alone. I'm sure that she has Jody at the current moment of time, so, like, I'm sure that he's going to be there to help support, and he seems like a really sweet, kind, caring person on camera. I've heard some things off camera that are not really positive, but I'm choosing to ignore them until shit actually hits the fan and they break up. So, that being said, next week on The Real Housewives of Miami, Lisa's dad lets her know, RIP to Lisa's dad too, by the way. Like, seeing all this footage of him now, it's like so sad, especially since this is the episode for next week that he tells Lisa that he wants to have more children. That's crazy. It's just crazy. And like less than a year and he's gone. It's just crazy. I'm sure that she's so stoked to have those memories and to be able to have that video footage and stuff like that of him. Like, I know I would want that of my dad, even if it was like us in the bad times and, you know, but that made you be able to reconcile and be there for the good times as well. Gertie gets ready to receive her diagnosis. As we know, obviously it ain't good, but then it turns out to be good because she beats cancer, and she basically says fuck cancer and beats it all. But in this moment, we find out her diagnosis. So she's definitely freaked out about that, rightfully so. And then Adriana and Lisa talk about her divorce and what she's going through. And basically, like, you know, I'm sure that Lisa breaks down in that moment as well. Mitch is a crier. It is what it is, right? But I'm still looking forward to it. It looks like a great episode. It looks like, I mean, Miami, you always bring it. And it's such a pleasure to be able to watch this show and see them come back, right? Because, dude, it was on for like 2 or something years, like 2 years, and then it took a decade for them to bring it back, which I'm like, I don't understand that. By the way, if you're going to bring back any franchise, bitches, you better bring back Dallas. Bring back Dallas. I know that some people are not with me on this one, but I need those Dallas women back in my fucking life. If any of them want to be on this podcast and talk about, you know, being on, I would love to see them on Girls Trip. Should do that, revive them on that. I don't care. I just want to see them back on my fucking Bravo screen. If you have to go to another network to be on TV, please do it, because I need all those bitches in my life. All of them. All of them can come back. I have no regrets on any of you coming back. I want all those girls on Dallas to come back. That being said, I will be back, you guys, for another episode. If I can actually keep my eyes open, for another episode to recap Southern Charm and Southern Hospitality. It is fire. It is so great. If you don't listen to my recap or watch my recap, watch the show. At least do it some justice and watch the show if you are not on Southern Charm or Southern Hospitality. And also, if you ain't on Southern Hospitality, where the fuck you at? It is ridiculously good. That being said, you guys, thank you so much for listening, watching, all that good stuff. For those that keep listening and watching throughout this whole entire thing, kudos to you. If anybody follows me on Instagram, I would love to give them at least like an Amazon gift card or something for watching all the way through. I'm not kidding on this one. I'll give you at least a $10 Amazon gift card. You can take $10 off of your Amazon, whatever. Let me know if you listen to this all the way through to the very bitter end. I'm appreciative of like the small amount of people that actually even listen to this fucking thing or watch my ugly mug on Spotify. So thank you guys so much for watching, listening, however you get your podcast. Don't forget to follow me on social media as well. If you're watching this all the way to the end, you will obviously see my ad at the very end of this. So guys, thank you again, and stay tuned for the next episode. You guys, it's going to be fire. Love you. Hope you're having a great holiday, and bye.